If you have your Bible, turn with me to Joel, the second chapter and the 16th verse. I'm going to be reading from there. I'm also going to be reading from Matthew 25 and 6 and Mark 2 and 18. My message this morning is the bride. Joel says, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and let the bride from her dressing room or her dressing bridal chamber. Matthew 25 and 6 says, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom coming. Go out to meet him. And then in Mark, the second chapter, verses 18 through 20 says this, the disciples of John and the Pharisees were fasting. And then they came to and said to him, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. Jesus calls himself the bridegroom. Amen. And the church is the bride of Christ. Amen. I'm going to say that again. And the church is the bride of Christ. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for everyone here. Thank you for what you've already done in this service, how we feel your presence and how we feel pride in the soldiers that have served in this country. I pray, God, that you would bless them. And now, God, bless the remainder of this service. Have your divine way, Lord. And we give you praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Turn around and tell your neighbor, it's time for the bride to come out of the dressing room. As a pastor, and I know that Pastor Fred can agree that one of the most amazing things is when you are doing a wedding. And I have done weddings where that in our church we had a bridal chamber or a dressing room. And about 2 or 3 hours before the wedding, the bride shows up. She's in sweatpants and curlers in her hair, no makeup. And she goes in and a group of ladies go in with her. And then we don't see her again. And in those days, the church would be packed full. And I would walk to the stage, and behind me the groom, and behind him the best man. And all attention was upon us. Everybody was watching us. The music played. Maybe there was a song. Maybe there was a scripture. Then all of a sudden the back doors open and the maid of honor comes down and the ushers and the bridesmaids come down. Still yet, everybody's attention was upon us. Then all of a sudden, the doors opened and the music changed. Dun, 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 dun. At that moment, no one was looking at me anymore. No one was looking at the groom. No one was looking forward, but everybody stood and they looked in the back, and this young lady that came earlier had been transformed. Aren't you glad you're not what you used to be? And everyone stood in attention and they turned and they looked at the back door, and there she was with her father, and everybody did this. Wow. And you would hear the whispers, she's so beautiful. She brought a gasp to the room. I say that today to say, is the bride still bringing a gasp? Is the bride still drawing attention? Amen. You see, we are the bride of Christ. And I believe that the Lord has spoken to me and said, the bridegroom is getting ready to come. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come and take away the bride. It's time for the bride to come out of the dressing room and bring it all to the world again. When they see the church, they would bring it all. Amen. And the church would go, isn't she beautiful? She's not what she used to be. What would cause the world to look at the bride, the church, and be at awe? First of all, it's our joy. Turn around and tell your neighbor, it's time to let joy be in our life again. It is time for the church to get out of the grumbles and once again have joy. It is a lie from the devil that says that the church needs to be sad and sorry. No, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. The world needs to see us in the midst of turmoil. We still have joy. In the midst of being laid off, we still have joy. Because our joy is not conformed to this world, but it is conformed to a world that is yet to come. Because in His presence is the fullness of joy. You see, people ought to see us and go, why are they happy? Amen. Don't they know what's going on? Yeah, we know what's going on. We read the back of the book. Amen. We already know that we win. Amen. We already know that this thing is going to turn out good. We already know that we're going to live with Him. We already know we're going to be victorious. We can't get down. We've got to get up. We've got to let joy. In His presence, fullness of joy. The world needs to stand in awe. Amen. At our joy. Someone said at 12 o'clock, the doors of the church opened up and the dead came out. I want you to know, we're not a dead church. We are a live church. We're full of joy. Amen. I said we're full of joy. I've got to say that again. We're full of joy. I wish some of you would get as excited about Jesus Christ as you do the New York Mets and the New York Giants. I wish we would get excited about Jesus Christ more than we do a new car or money in the bank. He is our everything. We ought to have joy. Me and Pastor Mike went out to visit the Greens Thursday morning just to get away for a little while. Amen. And we, you know, because it was just us two, we had to play with two other guys. And it started out rough. Man, they were cursing like crazy. We got to about, I don't know, the third hole or the fourth hole. And Pastor, we didn't have a business card, so Pastor Mike tore cardboard and wrote our names in the church on it. We handed it to them. Said, we're pastors. Pastor Mike said, if you ever need anything, we're pastors. Here's our numbers and stuff like that. Honest, they said, we could have figured it out. There was something about you guys. Come on, somebody. Amen. There was something about you guys. Your actions and the way you were carrying yourself. I want you to know the world ought to see us and say, there's something about you. The church ought to bring an awe-ness. And can I say to you, when we left, shook their hands, it was so great playing with you guys. Oh, we just hope everything works out. We hope you get a property. You're doing real good with the youth. Oh, anybody hear me what I'm saying? It is time that the church rises up again to a place where the world is at an awe. Somebody said, I'd be a Christian if it wasn't for Christians. Why would anybody want to come to Jesus Christ when they come to church and find people more miserable than they are? No, the joy of the Lord. I said the joy of the Lord is my strength. First of all, we have peace with God. Listen, if you got peace with God, nothing else matters. Amen. If everything is all right between you and God, nothing else matters. You know what? You might not like me, and I'm sorry. You might have something against me, and I'm sorry. But if Jesus Christ is all right with me, then everything else has got to be all right. Do you realize this morning, if you're a child of God, everything is under the blood. Amen. You're at peace. Amen. With the God of the universe. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Amen. In the midst of trouble. I want to read this. John 14 and 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? Oh, you know what? We ought not to be watching and CNN and Fox and MSNBC and getting all discouraged. We ought to have peace. Everything's going to work out. I said, everything's going to work out. Everything is going to work out to the good for them that love and trust the Lord. We should be able to lay our head in the bed at night and know that God is in control and He can give us peace that passes all understanding. Peace in the midst of trouble. Peace in the midst of the storm. It's all going to work out. Turn and tell your neighbor, it's all going to work out. Because you understand this, God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows what you're going to do tomorrow. God knows where you're going to be at. He knows what you're going to go through. He knows it all. So guess what? Just sit back, relax. He's in control. Amen. I don't know how many of you have ever had to tell someone in a car, just sit back and relax. Well, guess what? He's driving. He's in charge. Just sit back and relax. He knows where He's taking you. With our peace, we ought to bring it all. They ought to look at us and go, why aren't you upset? Why aren't you bothered? God is in control. I never forget, I got a layoff from the shipyard and walked out, and other men were crying. And I was just like, well, praise the Lord. Someone says, what's going on? You got another job? No. Got money in the bank? No. Amen. You got some things going under the table? No. Amen. Why are you so happy? I'm a child of God. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. He's going to work it out. I'm talking about the world looking at us and going, why do they have peace? Why are they all right? Because we are the bride of Christ and the bridegroom is coming and I'm at peace. The Bible said, love for one another. Jesus said, you'll be known as my disciples by the love you have one for another. You know what thrills me to death is when people tell me, when I come to church, I feel so much love. Listen, if you don't feel love in this church, come and tell me. We'll take care of that. See, we're supposed to love everybody, but there is a very special love that goes between children of God. Love that goes beyond race, goes beyond age. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? Love that looks beyond faults and sees needs. Love that loves one another and cares for one another. We are the family of God. We are the family of God, and we need to love one another like a family. Amen. One man was called to the hospital. His brother had been in an accident, and was bleeding terribly. They needed to do surgery, but they didn't have any of his type of blood, but his brother had the same type. And they said to him, would you be willing to give a blood transfusion? He said, yes, that's my brother. In the midst of the surgery, the nurse came and told the doctor, you can't take any more. You've taken so much blood, his blood vessels are starting to collapse. The doctor said, we just need a little bit more. Go ask him. And the nurse went in and said, sir, this is dangerous ground. You've given up so much blood, it's getting dangerous. My suggestion is we stop. But the doctor says he needs a little bit more, and it's up to you. And he said, ma'am, that's my brother over there. Take it all. If you need it, take it all. I want you to know we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to let love reign. Somebody say amen. Love that passes all understanding. Listen to what it says in Ephesians, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. See, there is a love that passes what you can understand. You love people and you don't even know why you love them. It causes you to act a certain way that you really wouldn't act that way. But it is the love of God that you look at people and you love them even though they don't look lovable. Oh, don't look at me like that. Some of you know there was a time you wasn't lovable. Amen. Ah, but you loved them. I'm so glad when I came to God, I wasn't lovable, but a church loved me. A church reached out and touched me. Turn around and tell your neighbor, this is about love. Love that never fails. Love that never fails. Though, let me tell you something. You're not going to be known as God's disciples by how you shout, how much you run, how much you praise God, what you put in the offering, but the love you have one for another. Amen. See, though I have tongues as angels and ablat not love, I'm just like a tinkling brass and a sounding cymbal. I'm just like a piece of tin tangling on the ground. Though I have faith that I can raise the dead and have not love, I am nothing. Love that says, I might not like what you're doing, but I love you. Amen. Love that says, I'm going to give to the poor. Love that says, I'm going to feed somebody. Amen. Love that cares about missions. Love that makes the difference. Someone said, you're a hugging and kissing church. Yeah. My brother Rodney came and preached on a Wednesday night afterwards. He called his wife and she said, how was it? He said, I've got more kisses from men. They said, it was awesome. Somebody say amen. Amen. It was awesome when you feel the love of God, when you come to church and you're just not a number sitting on a pew, but you feel like you belong and people love you and they care about you. That is going to bring an awness to the world because the world don't understand unconditional love. Their love is conditional. What you do for me, then I'll do for you. But if you do me wrong, you're in trouble. Our kind of love says, I'll love you regardless of who you are, where you come from. I'll love you anyhow. You can't have God and not have love. For God is love. Church, our love should bring the world to an awe. I might not understand all the shouting and stuff, but man, that love drew me back. I felt that love. I felt like people really cared. One of the saddest scriptures is, it says this, no man cared for my soul. We need to care one for another. We are the body of Christ. When one hurts, we all hurt. Amen. Amen. You see, being the body of Christ, you look at it in our body wise, one of the worst things that ever in the world can happen to you, makes me madder than anything, is when I get up at night and stub my toe. Man, especially the little one. Woo, does that hurt? It's the littlest thing, but it hurts the whole body. the whole body reacts. Yeah! This leg supports the body while this hand grabs that leg, foot. This hand is rubbing it. Whatever rubbing does, I don't know. Tears come out of the eyes. And you're hollering. You feel it all over. When one of us hurt, we ought to all feel it. It ought to all affect us all because we have love. And when the world sees us, it should be in awe of our love. It should be in awe with the power of God in our lives. Acts 1 and 8 said, and we shall receive power. There are some preaching today that God doesn't heal anymore, that God doesn't do miracles anymore. The Bible said God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Can somebody say amen? If he did it then, he'll do it again. Amen. If he's a healer then, he's a healer today. If by his stripes you are healed was good enough for those in the New Testament, it's good enough for us right now. And it is time for the church to rise up and quit being a dead church and being a live church full of power and with demonstration. Paul said it's not with words of man's wisdom. Amen. Not that to confound people with great big words. Woo. I'll never forget one time I put together a message. And Pastor Fred, I had $20 words that nobody knew what I was talking about. We had a general overseer. He said that in his church, they invited a professor from the college who was a French teacher. And he knew the pure French. Said he had a young man in his church that was just full of joy, full of the Holy Spirit. And every service would jump, shout, and speak in tongues. And he found out that this professor was coming. So he put together the best message he could ever put together. Went to dictionary, got big words, and came in. And he was just praying that that little man would just behave himself. But they started singing the first song and he let go. And he started shouting. And the pastor was, oh, please God, settle him down. Oh, Lord. And he began to speak in tongues. And it went on for about 2 or 3 minutes. And then the pastor preached. And afterwards, he said, I met the man at the back door. And I said to him, how did you enjoy my message? He said, sir, I don't even know what you said. Didn't understand anything you said. But I'd like to know the education of that young man up there. I said, why? He said, he spoke the most purest French and talked about Jesus Christ. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I'm talking about not with men's words of enticing words, but of power and of demonstration. The world is tired of the church preaching a gospel that we don't believe. I'm here to tell you, he still is a healer. He still is a deliverer. He still is have power. There still is power in the blood of Jesus. There still is power in the name of Jesus. There still is power in the word of God. It is time for the church to bring an allness to the word by the power of God. You want to affect this world? Amen. Let them start seeing the power of God. Amen. Because Jesus said, these things and greater shall you do. Are we doing them? And then it's time for the bride to come out of the bridal chamber. There's some great things happening in the bridal chamber. The bridesmaids and the maid of honor, they're brushing her hair and putting on the makeup, putting on the jewelry. I mean, making her look beautiful. It's nice in there. They're waiting on her. Some water. Would you like a cookie, a cracker? Anything you want, anything you need. She stands up and, oh, you're so beautiful. You see, that's where the church is. We're just in that state of, oh, Lord, bless me. Oh, Lord, just tell me how wonderful I am. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit has given us power, has given us joy, has given us peace, has given us love. And as long as we sit in the closet, as long as we sit in the bridal chamber, we'll never meet the bridegroom. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? It is time that we rise up and quit saying, I'm so glad, Lord, you blessed me. I'm so glad for what you've done in my life. But it's time for me to get up, open this door, and get out and bring an allness to the world. Let the world see Jesus in me. Let the world experience what God has done in me. It's time to get out of the chamber. We've been letting the Holy Spirit wait on us. It's time for us to get out and demonstrate what God is and who God is in our life. Because the bride comes out of the bridal chamber just before the wedding. Just before she sees the groom. Jesus is getting ready to come. It's time for the church to rise up. It's time for revival. I said it's time for revival. It's time for the world to see in us the joy, the peace, the love, and the power of God that it radiates from us. So the world goes,
oh,
wow. You see, your pastor is trying very hard to get into this world. Our mayor, those in charge, our police, our firemen ought to go, anybody hear me what I'm saying? To the church. Because we are moving in peace and joy and love and in the power of God. Listen to me. The need and the help for drug addicts today is not in government programs. It's in the touch of the living God. The need and the help for people that are getting their homes foreclosed on and stuff. The government can only do so much, but they need the touch of God in their life. The problem with children and drugs and children and gangs, the government can't do anything about it, but the church of the living God can. And anybody hear me what I'm saying? We can make a difference. We can change lives. So it is time that we come out of the bridal chamber. It is time that Long Island and Lindenhurst and Babylon says, thank God for Lindenhurst Evangel Church of God for what they are doing and the effect they are making on their community. Thank God. It is time for the bride to come out. Would you stand with me?